the meditations explained. Track 3, the body-mind check. Whenever you feel out of sorts during the day, or at the start of any formal meditation, it is good to stop and check where you're at. This means looking at the state of your body, your mind, and your underlying mood. This stop and look appraisal almost immediately leads to improvement. This spot meditation can be done at any time during the day, and you should get good results within a minute. Track 4, the past and future. Even if we try to be present and do just one thing at a time, our mind is bound to be influenced by what we've just done and by what we know is coming up. If we are at all anxious, the issues relating to the immediate past and future will tend to consume far more attention than they deserve. We can reduce some of this wastage of energy if we periodically review what we've just done and preview what is coming up. To quickly appraise the past and future also tends to organize and tidy up those thoughts, which gives us more freedom to attend to what we are doing in the moment. It wouldn't hurt you to do this spot meditation 10 times a day as I do. Track 5, name the distractions. This is a long breath meditation with two purposes. The first is to help you recognize when you are focused and when you are distracted. The second is to help you name and disarm the distractions so you can quickly return to focus. Meditating involves focusing on the breath or the body in the midst of potential and actual distractions from inside and out. To do this well, we have to periodically check whether we are still focused or whether we have drifted away. To stay on track, it helps to ask the question, right now, am I focused or distracted? In most, but not all cases, the awareness alone will bring us back. The best way to minimize distractions is to focus as well as possible, to go for a deep, sustained quality of attention. Deep focus means making a strong contact with the breath or the body in some way. Sustained focus means holding that attention over time against the tendency to get distracted. In this meditation, I will encourage you to recognize this quality of deep, sustained focus. People often wonder if they are meditating or just falling asleep or daydreaming. There is an easy way to check. You just ask, am I focused or adrift? Am I doing what I intended to do, namely focus on the body in order to relax, or am I distracted? If you're focused and you know it, you're meditating. If you're distracted, your mind is out of control and at best, you're just relaxing. While doing this, we still have to contend with hundreds of potential distractions, one after another. These are the thoughts, sensations, memories, and moods that try to entice us away from what we are doing. Trivial distractions can be discarded as soon as we recognize them. But those with more emotional weight may require more attention. We need to briefly focus on these, but in a way that both acknowledges and disarms them. This quick stop and look appraisal will control them far more effectively than simply trying to shrug them off. When we get seriously distracted, it is good to stop and ask the question, what is this? And name or label that distraction with a single word or two words at most. Language, as a cognitive skill, has immense power to contain and objectify any particular thought, sensation, or emotion, so don't be reluctant to use it when you meditate. We can get distracted by sensations, such as noise or physical pain, or by emotions, such as boredom or frustration. But most distractions are thoughts. Once we've captured a thought in a word, such as work, or London, or Sally, the appraisal and response tend to follow automatically. When we realize a particular thought is less important than it first appeared, it is easy to drop it. The process may only take a second or two, but it still depends on that first moment of clear perception. If you are distracted, it helps enormously to know what has captured you. Even if a distraction has utterly destroyed a particular meditation, it is helpful to know the face of your enemy. I encourage you to get used to asking the question, "What is this? What is distracting me now?" and to find simple labels to contain it. To acknowledge and evaluate a thought, to see it objectively and postpone it to an appropriate time, can all happen in a flash. Furthermore, it won't stir you up the way full-on, open-ended thinking does. There is a huge difference between seeing a thought objectively and actively thinking. In fact, noticing and disarming thoughts is not a distraction in itself. You may need to do this little maneuver dozens of times in any meditation. Track 6, Managing Thoughts. Whenever we notice a distracting thought, we have to make a judgment. Which is more important, the distraction or the meditation? Should we follow the thought or stay focused? In theory, we should always stay focused. In practice, the situation is far less clear-cut. Some distractions are hugely important matters. We may be going through a bitter divorce or suffering the pain of cancer or being ravaged by anxiety or depression. It is patronizing to suggest we should just name these as divorce or pain or depression and then tick them off and get on with the meditation. These issues aren't trivial. They demand and deserve more attention than that. Awareness is fundamentally about the clear perception and appraisal of a mental object. This means holding in mind a particular thought, such as divorce, or a sensation, such as pain, in order to see it in perspective. We can dismiss a minor distraction in an instant, but it takes more time to see a complex matter clearly, and in meditation at least, we try to strike a balance. We give ourselves enough time to see an issue with clarity, but no more than that. We look for that middle ground between ignoring a thought and getting lost in it, between denial and obsession. We look at it carefully, but we don't push to a solution. Managing a complex thought starts, as usual, with being able to name it, such as divorce or money worries or renovations. However, it is also good to objectify it using nonverbal methods. We can picture it. We can place it. We can schedule it. We can identify its companion thoughts and emotions. All this will enable us to get a more complete picture while still maintaining a strategic distance. It is good to use imagery. If we are thinking about Mary, we could both name her and picture her. If we are thinking about work, we could say work, but also picture the desk. It is like reducing a thought to an icon. This picturing involves holding the image in a location just behind our eyes, or in front of us, or somewhere in our spatial field. thoughts that are oppressive feel physically close and in our face. When we see them in perspective, they seem further away. We can also use imagery to appraise and reorient ourselves towards a thought. People often say they package up a thought, or file it away, or put it on a list, or postpone it until later, or dump it in the trash. It is also possible to identify the accompanying emotion. So you could name both work and frustration, or divorce plus rage, or money plus fear. All these devices enable us to see a thought more accurately without getting caught up in it. Psychologists often present mindfulness as a way of regarding painful thoughts and experiences with open, non-judgmental acceptance. But I wouldn't go as far as that. We can always improve our understanding of a problem and change our responses, but bad things remain bad, and unconditional acceptance will only work occasionally as a solution. I think it is always better to see things as they actually are. Track 7, Managing Emotions. Emotions drive all our actions. They inform all our decisions, and they flavor everything we do. They manifest as impulses, prompting us to do this or that in the moment, as the feeling tone or the like or dislike judgments that accompany any activity or perception, and as our underlying shifting moods. Because, as a general principle, awareness balances or regulates what we focus on, it is very useful to periodically check our emotions, particularly when they are troublesome. Grasping an emotion objectively is a lot harder than we might expect. Most of us only become aware of an emotion as such when it is unpleasant. Nonetheless, we can still objectify an emotion by naming it, by picturing it, and by identifying its effect in our body, as I will explain in the coming meditation. Since we tend to notice only excessive and painful emotions, this stop and look mechanism will usually tone them down so the degree of response becomes more appropriate to the situation. In psychology, this process of self-reflection and adjustment is called emotional regulation. It is a hallmark of good mental health and maturity. Track 8, Managing Pain. Stress locks up the body. Certain muscles will tighten up for fight or flight, and others will just as vigorously counteract them. This isometric tension is one reason why stress is so physically unpleasant and eventually quite painful. Conversely, just a few seconds of deliberate relaxation can shift us from pain towards pleasure. If we notice stress, we can relieve it. If we don't notice it, it may stay for a lifetime. This means it is extremely useful to become aware of pain and discomfort if we want to relax efficiently. Even if the pain doesn't go, it is far better to be relaxed in its presence than to tense up against it. In the coming meditation, I use the word pain in a broader sense than usual. For the sake of simplicity, I say a pain is any unpleasant sensation ranging on a scale from the least itch or ache through to extreme agony. In this sense, we all have some pain most of the time, especially if we are over a certain age. Paradoxically, pain is an excellent meditation object. We can relax quite rapidly by focusing on pain. Any pain pulls us into the present moment and away from our habitual thoughts. Pain is easy to focus on, often easier than the breath, and anything that focuses us automatically calms our bodies and minds. Conversely, if we try to ignore or suppress our discomforts, that very effort keeps us tense and agitated.